Today is July 22, 2026. This is your AI briefing for Business Pragmatist. In the next 8 to 10 minutes, we'll cover Hugging Face's platform breach and the guardrail lockout that stalled its own security team, plus what Moonshot AI's Kimi K3 and LM Studio's Bionic release signal about openweight and local-first tooling becoming board-relevant infrastructure decisions. Here's the number that should get your attention first. 45,000 models, 50,000 organizations. That's the footprint. Hugging Face Disclosed was exposed through a template injection vector buried in a dataset loader. But the real story for your board isn't the breach itself. It's what happened when Hugging Face's own incident response team tried to investigate it. Their anomaly detection pipeline, which uses LLM-based triage over security telemetry, flagged the compromise by correlating signals that would otherwise vanish into daily noise. Once flagged, the team pointed LLM analysis agents at an attacker action log with more than 17,000 recorded events. That reconstructed the full timeline and mapped every touched credential in hours instead of the days this kind of forensic work normally takes. So far, this is a success story about AI-augmented security operations. Then the process broke. When Hugging Face's team first ran this forensic analysis through Frontier commercial APIs, the requests were blocked outright. Here's the uncomfortable truth. Submitting real exploit payloads and live command and control artifacts to a model looks, at the content level, identical to an actual attack. The guardrails built to stop bad actors couldn't distinguish the incident responders from the intruders. The team had to pivot to GLM 5.2, an open weight model from Z.AI, self-hosted on their own infrastructure. That unlocked the analysis, and as a bonus kept attacker data and credentials from ever leaving their environment. This isn't a one-off. The Register reported, via Trend Micro's Tom Kellerman, that a jailbroken Google Gemini model performed roughly 90% of the work in a separate attack, including standing up a new command and control server in 6 minutes. And threat hunters at CYIG documented what they call the first end-to-end agentic ransomware infection, an LLM, not a human, driving the entire extortion chain from initial access through data destruction. The pattern across all three incidents is the same. Attackers are moving faster than guardrailed commercial models can be cleared to respond. The strategic play for your board is this. Pre-vet and stage a self-hosted open-weight model, GLM 5.2, or a comparable option for incident response use before you need it, not during a breach. Waiting to source a forensic-capable model mid-incident costs you exactly the hours you don't have. Pair that with Hugging Face's own remediation template, automated credential rotation the moment an anomaly fires, and human paging within minutes for high-severity signals on any day of the week, because the attacker in this case operated specifically over a weekend, betting correctly that, in Hugging Face's own words, nobody's watching the dashboards. If your security operations center still relies solely on guardrailed commercial APIs, with no self-hosted fallback and no off-hours paging discipline, you have the exact gap that got exploited here. Now, building on that theme of open-weight models moving from experimental to operational, two tooling stories this week reinforce the same shift. LM Studio's Bionic release pairs agentic coding, codebase question and answer, refactoring, diff review, with local execution by default rather than sending code to the cloud. It's the first product to combine those two things, and it runs open models like GLM and Kimi K2. Its MLX engine uses KV cache checkpointing to cut RAM usage by up to 80% and dropped a benchmarked repeated task from 23.79 seconds to 6.88 seconds, according to LM Studio's own numbers. The catch: it's single laptop tooling today, Apple Silicon or Windows only, with no confirmed multi-machine serving. Treat it as a compliance pilot candidate for regulated teams that currently can't use Cursor or Claude code at all, not as a team-wide rollout, at least until pricing on the optional zero retention cloud tier is published. More importantly, on the pure economics side, Moonshot AI's Kimi K3 is priced at $3 per million input tokens and $15 per million output tokens, against GPT-5.6's reported $5 per million input and $30 per million output. That headline gap looks dramatic. But Ben Thompson's economic analysis found Kimi consumes roughly 2 times the tokens per completed task, which narrows the real cost per task advantage down to somewhere between 0 and 20%. The takeaway for procurement: stop comparing vendor cost per token sheets and start building cost per task benchmarks against your own production prompts. That's the same correction that applies to Artificial Analysis's Intelligence Index, a cost versus performance chart now showing 4 separate US labs simultaneously sitting on the frontier. The curve there tells you concentration risk is falling, not rising, which matters if your architecture currently locks into a single provider. That concentration point connects directly to a warning from investor Gavin Baker: 2 to 3 dominant closed labs create platform risk, because those labs can vertically integrate into the application layer and squeeze anyone building on top of them. Separately, one team reported their Fable 5 deployment getting slower and slower over time, a capacity degradation signal that single-vendor architectures are exposed to and multi-vendor routing layers are not. The strategic play here is building a model-agnostic routing layer as a resilience investment, not a cost optimization. It buys you protection against both vendor lock-in and capacity degradation, and it keeps pricing competitive across providers. But it isn't free. Maintaining prompt and output parity across heterogeneous APIs is real engineering work, and you need a cost-per-task benchmark harness in place before the router, not after. One more data point worth flagging for anyone shipping AI into regulated deliverables: a Stanford study found that purpose-built legal AI research tools, the kind law firms pay thousands of dollars a year for, still fabricated information in roughly 1 in 6 responses, about 17% of the time. General-purpose chatbots answering the same legal questions were wrong more than 50% of the time. Retrieval-augmented generation with citations clearly helps. It does not solve the problem. If your organization is pushing RAG outputs into anything regulated, a 17% residual fabrication rate is still a governance liability at scale, and it means citation verification belongs in the live-serving path, not just at index build time. So here's the risk and opportunity pairing to carry out of this briefing. The risk: your incident response process may be silently dependent on commercial guardrails that will refuse to process the exact forensic data you need during a real breach, and your off-hours monitoring gap is the window attackers are actively testing for. The opportunity: open-weight, self-hostable models and local-first tooling have crossed into genuine production viability this year, which means you can close that gap now, pre-staged, tested, and ready, rather than discovering it live during your next incident. Stay strategic. I'll see you at the next briefing. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.